Blog Talk Radio. La 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 la.
Mary Mary.
La 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 la.
Thank you.
When I look back over my life.
Thank you.
And all the times you brought me through.
Thank you.
I just want to say, Father, thank you.
When I was lonely.
In podcast land, and welcome, and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast by co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge, and next we'll have a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you once again for tuning in or downloading and listening to this podcast. That song today, thank you. This is something that we should forever have on our lips of saying thank you, giving thanks.
Amen. Amen.
We have to stop, as they say, and smell the coffee or smell the roses and understand the blessings in which we are receiving each and every day. In spite of what it may look like, we need to continue to give praise. I want to talk about just rehash just a little bit of stuff that we've been going over daily on our podcast, how we've been talking about you and who you are as opposed to who you think you are, how it is to get the things in which you desire. It is a simple formula that we refuse to use because of our lack of understanding. And in this podcast, we tend to bring things to you from a totally different perspective than what religions have basically taught you. But I just want to go over and mention in some of our numerous podcasts how we spoke about religion, how they have gotten you to feel, quote unquote, that you have to be in church on Sunday, how you have to always be in church, praising God, worshiping God. And I've said to you numerous times that God doesn't need your worship. You don't need to go to church to please God. I've said this, and people called me all kinds of names and thought all kinds of things about me. But it's here right before you, showing you who is it that has been to church in the last month. And those that haven't been, do you feel as if God has left you or forsaken you? Even though in his word he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He didn't say if you go to church. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So I just brought that up just so that people can kind of better understand what it is that I'm saying to you. And it's not coming from me per se, but it is the message in which God is using me to get to you so that you can better understand what it is that God wants you to have life and to have it more abundantly. I've said to you on many times, you will never get what it is that you want. And the reason you will not get what it is that you want is because when you give these prayers to God, what you're doing is you're asked for wanting. And that's what you're getting. And what I mean by that is I want money. So what you get is you get the feeling of wanting money. That is what you ask for. You have to be selective in what follows I. Because you have this power over the universe, you have to understand when you say I, whatever follows it is the command that the universe will follow. So instead of I want money, we have to find other things as if to say thank you for the money. When you say you want something, that's as if saying you don't have it. And to say that you don't have it means that your needs are not being supplied. So if you want it, you will get the feeling of wanting because that is just what you're asking for. I want love. You get the feeling of wanting love. It is just that simple. And I just want to just go over something because during these trying times right now with this virus and everything, we have a lot of people that are afraid. And I'm here to tell you this. There is no death. Life goes on forever and ever. Life is. You simply change form. After you change form, consequences cease to exist. There is just knowing. Consequences are an element of relativity. They have no place in the absolute because they depend on linear time and sequential events. These do not exist in the realm of the absolute. In that realm, there is nothing but peace and joy and love. In that realm, you will know at last the good news that your devil does not exist, that you are who you always thought you were, goodness and love. Your idea that you might be something else has come from an insane outer world, causing you to act insanely, an outer world of judgment and condemnation. Others have judged you, and from their judgment, you have judged yourself. Now you want God to judge you, and God will not do it. And because you cannot understand a God who will not act as humans would, you are lost. Your theology is an attempt to find yourself again. Everything depends on what you perceive to be the purpose of life. Therefore, the basis of the theology. If you believe life exists as a test, a trial, a period of putting you through your paces to see if you are worthy, then your theology begins to make sense. If you believe that life exists as an opportunity, a process through which you discover, remember that you are worthy and have always been, then religion seems insane. If you believe God is an ego-filled God who requires attention, adoration, appreciation, affection, and will kill to get it, then religion holds true. But if you believe that God is without ego or need, but the source of all things and the seat of all wisdom and love, then religion falls apart. If you believe that God is a vengeful God, jealous in his love and wrathful in his anger, then religion is perfect. If you believe God is a peaceful God, joyous in her love and passionate in her ecstasy, then religion is useless. I tell you this, the purpose of life is not to please God. The purpose of life is to know and to recreate who you are. In doing so, you do please God and glorify her as well. See, I'm saying God is neither he nor she. I occasionally use the feminine pronoun just to jar out of your parochial thinking. If you think God is one thing, then you will think God is not another. And that would be a large mistake. There is no hell, so there is no such place for anyone else to go. And so it's important for us to understand what it is that I'm saying here. It's important for us to know that people who were left behind mourn those deaths only because they do not know of the joy into which those souls entered. No one who has experienced death ever mourns the death of anyone. So it's important for us to stand. And please hear me when I say this, when I say glorify death, in no means whatsoever am I telling anyone to shoot themselves or to kill themselves, but I'm saying we have to embrace it because death is just another part of life. And once you realize that death is another part of life, then you can begin to enjoy this life. But because Amen. We are so afraid of death, it makes us afraid to live this life for fear of dying.
Mm.
So this is something in which we need to put aside this fear that we are so bad and we're going to hell. Why are we going to hell? Can anybody tell me why we're going to hell? Can anyone say why God would even create hell?
Okay, it doesn't make sense.
And you have to understand this. There is no hell. We've been led to believe this for so long, that there is a hell. And I'm here to tell you that there is no hell. And the sooner we come to accept this, the sooner we make our peace with the fact that there is no hell, the sooner we can begin to enjoy this life. This life. We are here to make the very best of this life, to be the very best we can be in this life. All events, all experiences have as their purpose the creating of opportunity. Events and experiences are opportunities, nothing more, nothing less.
Mm.
It would be a mistake to judge them as works of the devil, punishment from God, rewards from heaven, or anything in between. They are simply events and experiences, things that happen. It is what we think of them, do about them, be in response to them, that gives them meaning. Events and experiences are opportunities drawn to you, created by you individually or collectively through consciousness. Consciousness creates experiences. You are attempting to raise your consciousness. You have drawn these opportunities to you in order that you might use them as tools in the creation and experience of who you are. And who you are is a being of higher consciousness than you are now exhibiting. Because it is God's will that you should know and experience who you are. God allows you to draw to yourself whatever event or experience you choose to create in order to do that. Other players in the universal game join in from time to time, but either as brief encounters, participants, temporary teammates, long-term interactors, relatives and family, dearly loved ones, or life path partners. These souls are drawn to you by you. You are drawn to them by them. It is a mutual creative experience expressing the choice and desires of both. No one comes to you by accident. There is no such thing as a coincidence. Nothing occurs at random. Events, like people, are drawn to you by you for your own purpose. Larger planetary experience and developments are the result of group consciousness. They are drawn to your group as a whole as a result of the choices and desires of the group as a whole. Group consciousness is something that is not widely understood. Yet it is extremely powerful and can, if you are not careful, often overcome individual consciousness. You must always, therefore, endeavor to create group consciousness wherever you go and with whatever you do. If you wish your larger life experience on the planet to be harmonious, if you are in a group whose consciousness does not reflect your own and you are unable at this time to effectively alter the group's conscience, it is wise to leave the group, or the group could lead you. It will go where it wants to go, regardless of where you want to go. If you cannot find the group whose consciousness matches your own, be the source of the one. Others of like consciousness will be drawn to you. Individuals in smaller groups must affect larger groups, and ultimately, the largest group of all, which is all humankind, for there is to be permanent and significant change in this world. Our world and the condition it is in is a reflection of the total combined consciousness of everyone living here. As you can see by looking around you, much work is left to be done, unless, of course, you are satisfied with your world as it is. Surprisingly, most people are. This is why the world does not change. Most people are satisfied with the world in which differences, not similarities, are honored. Disagreements are settled by conflict and war. Most people are satisfied with a world in which survival is for the fittest. Might is right. Competition is required, and winning is called the highest good. If such a system happens to also to produce losers, so be it, so long as you are not among them. Most people are satisfied, even though such a model produces people who are often killed when they are judged wrong, starved and rendered homeless when they are losers, oppressed and exploited when they are not strong. Most people define wrong as that which is different from them. Religious differences in particular are not tolerated, nor are many social, economic, or cultural differences. Exploitation of the underclass is justified by the self-congratulatory pronouncements from the upper class of how much better off their victims are now than they were before these exploitations. By this measure, the upper class can ignore the issues of how all people ought to be treated if one were being truly, truly fair. Rather than merely making a horrible situation a tiny bit better and profiting obscenely in the bargain. Most people laugh when one suggests any kind of system other than the one currently in place. Saying that behaviors such as competing and killing and the victor takes the spoil are what makes their civilization great. Most people even think there is no other way to be, that it is the nature of humans to behave in this manner, and that to act any other way will kill the inner spirit that drives man to succeed. No one asked the question, succeed at what? Difficult as it is for truly enlightened beings to understand, most people on earth believe in this philosophy, and that is why most people don't care about the suffering masses, the oppressed of minorities, the anger of the underclass, or the survival needs of anyone but themselves and their immediate family. Most people do not see that they are destroying this earth, the very planet which gives them life, because their actions seek only to enhance their quality of life. Amazingly, they are not farsighted enough to observe that short-term gains can produce long-term losses, and often do and will. Most people are threatened by group consciousness, a concept such as the collective good, a one-world overview, or a God who exists in unity with all creation rather than separate from it. This fear of anything leading to unification and the earth's glorification of all that separates produce division, disharmony, discord. Yet you do not seem to have the ability even to learn from your own experiences. And so you continue your behaviors with the same results. The inability to experience the suffering of another as one's own is what allows such suffering to continue. Separate breeds indifference, false superiority. Unity produces compassion, genuine equality. The events which occur on earth, which have occurred regularly for 3,000 years, are, as we've said, a reflection of the collective consciousness of the group, the whole group on the planet. That level of consciousness could best be described as primitive. Primitive. Now, I know I've said a lot, but if you have time to go back and listen to what I've said, you will see what I'm talking about. And I don't want to go political or anything to that nature, but if you notice, the Democrats, they're trying to serve all mankind. They're trying to create unity. The Republicans don't want unity. It is the masses. And so until the majority comes to a conclusion and set on a goal, because there is so much power in the group consciousness. Everything that is happening in our society today is based on group consciousness. Because we have to understand we are the ones which are creating this. We like to sit back and blame God or the devil, and I'm here to tell you, neither one has a part in this. It is us.
Okay.
It is us. There are a group of people somewhere that have pulled their resources and consciousness together to think that the planet needs a cleansing. And this is why some of these different viruses and stuff are come to be. Because it is their way of, quote unquote, cleansing. There is a group that feel that they need to have all the riches. and those that are under them don't need it as much. This is why. It's a group consciousness. As a country, we've said for years, oh, we can't do this for Medicare for all. It would bankrupt us. But this is what we're doing now because we have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also said to us so many times, all things are working together for the good. And so even though this virus that has hit us seems and is a bad thing, well, actually, it isn't a bad thing because it's a win-win. Because if you look at it, what's happening here now is as a people, slowly but surely, we are beginning to come together.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Now, there is resistance, but we are beginning to come together. Universal health care doesn't seem like a joke nowadays. It's a little bit more serious, whereas 2 years ago, it was a joke. It's not a joke now. So there is good in this. But what we've got to do is we've got to take off these negative blinders, whereas we only want to see the negative. It is good to see the negative, but you've got to be able to see the negative so that you can see the positive. But we tend to harp only on the negative and not see the positive in this. And you say, well, how can there be so much positive in all of these people dying? As I stated when we first started this, there is no such thing as death.
Amen. Amen.
And the sooner we come to accept it, then we can begin to see more clearly. We can begin to understand it better. But as long as we look at death as some kind of punishment instead of a reward, then we won't be able to glorify. We won't be able to truly live because we're so busy worried about the negative, per se. We're so busy worried about, did I please God? In order to please God, all you have to do is work to be the best you that you can be. That's all it is. Just learn to be the best you. And once you start to do this, then you can begin to enjoy life. Then you can begin to see things differently. A toothache doesn't hurt as bad when you see it differently. And just because a toothache hurts for me does not mean it have to hurt for you. But we all associate pain with a toothache because this is what's been told to us. There are some people that can get their tooth pulled, don't need any kind of medication or anything. So it's important. I'm going to leave on this message with one something that I say to all. We must learn how to go within.
That's right. We keep
going without because we will not go within. It's important that you go within. Have that conversation with God. And then after you have the conversation, be still. And hear and see how good God is. As they say, oh, taste and see just how good God is. And I do thank you for tuning in. I thank you for coming out tonight and listening. And I pray that you will rewind, take your time, and hear this so that you can begin to accept and know just who it is that you are and the power in which you possess. God is good. God is with us always. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us. So go with those words and understand, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Thank you, Mr.
I love you. I love you all, and I look forward to Thursday night. Be blessed and enjoy. tonight, tomorrow, and forever.
Amen.
Light years away.